League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening. And as always, we hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. The Olympics is, well, it has started, but the athletics is less than a week away. So Matt and I, very excited. Looking forward to that 10K final on Friday night. And I'm sure you guys are too. Just a note as well, the prediction contest is now live over on Instagram. So go check that out at Sunday Podcast. All the info on how to enter is there. But essentially, same as always, predict your winners. All the track events, 800 up to the 10K, men's and women's. Closest person gets there, gets the prize of £250 to spend at sportsshoes.com. So obviously massive thanks to them for their ongoing support and also for putting up that prize. But Matt, my entries are in already. Have you done yours?
Yeah, I have done mine, mate, but I rushed them. I was just basically testing out the Google form, make sure it works for everyone else. So yeah, I've submitted mine. And just on that as well, like I basically, we just went through and looked at all the confirmed entries in the in each discipline. So there might be a few names. I think, like, for example, in the 800, there's a couple reserves on there. But we thought, well, we'd include them just in case there is any late dropouts. So there might be, I think there's close to sort of 56 athletes in some events, but that just includes reserves. However, the reserves are people you're probably not going to predict for the win, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem, but just pre-warning everyone there. It all runs smoothly, so yeah, get your predictions in ASAP. I can't see much changing now. It's not like the British champs. Sure, there won't be much politics. Everyone actually wants to race and compete. So, but man, where do we start? I mean, I think we just got to go women's 800, because I just think, you know, is it going to be the Keeley show? There's so much pressure going in. I almost feel like for the other Brits, it's almost a bonus that Keeley is so, especially, you know, thinking about Phoebe Gill and her having not been to any kind of competitions at this level, you know, this spotlight, the amount of pressure, I think it works better. The fact that Keeley is such a heavy favourite in the 800, that all eyes are on Keeley, even from like a British fan perspective, that, you know, even though Gemma Reekie's the second fastest woman in the world this year, I almost feel like people don't see her as that because they're so obsessed with the Keeley and the Mora showdown. So, yeah, I feel like for Reekie and Phoebe Gill, I think it works out well that Keeley's heavy favourite. I think Keeley can cope with the pressure as well. But, mate, I just wonder, we're going to get the polls going Wednesday, Thursday to see how many people have put Keeley for the win. But did you?
I did, mate. I did put it down for the win. I don't think it's going to be easy. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think she's the clear favourite, and I do think she will get over the line. But yeah, I think you can't think this race is kind of done and dusted already, because you've got other people in there who can run 155, can run 156. And if you can pull off a 155 in that final, that might be enough. You know, we've seen it before. So who knows? I think Keeley does cope with that. I'm not saying she's not going to, but I don't think she's going to I don't think it's a kind of foregone conclusion, you know. Like, but like we say, any event, there's not really. Me and you were talking the other day, weren't we? Looking at some of the kind of the odds for some of the athletes. And apart from maybe some field events, we were saying, like, you're like, okay, that's a lock. Maybe like a Mondo, for example. Apart from that, no one's a lock in this game, are they?
No, I think yeah, as much as you want to believe it, they're just not. You're dead right there. And but yeah, I think it will take a sub 155. I think we're gonna have to see maybe a 154 from Keeley to win this. Mora, I think is a little underrated going in. Obviously, people have almost written her off just because we haven't seen her. Sometimes that's a good thing. You know, sometimes she's even in really good shape. She's holding her cards really close to her chest, and we haven't seen the best of her. Or it's a bad thing and she's, you know, not confident in her shape, hasn't been, you know, there's reasons why she hasn't been racing, fitness, injury, illness, whatever. So, but I just think, yeah, she's 50 point. If she gets it right more, and look, interestingly, at the London Diamond League, Keeley was, I think she knew that she was winning that race. Like there was absolutely no doubts. And obviously what helps that as well is, you know, she's got a training partner pacing her and it's set up for her. And yeah, you know, Riki did challenge, but Riki was never winning that race. She was literally just time trialing and sitting in behind. There was no challenge there, I don't think. But obviously at the Olympic Games, it's a different ball game when you're up at the front, when she might be leading, to have eight women behind you who want to beat you and are gunning you down, and you're, don't care who you are, like you're thinking about that.
What do you
And
think
so it
Riki's
was.
going to do? Do you think she's going to go out and lead it
I
and try
think
and
there's too many.
dominate?
I think there's too many eyes on her, not to be at the front. And I just feel like she won't want to get trapped. I watched back 2022 and 2023 Worlds, and even 2022. Honestly, like she was so close to beating a Thing Mu, but she got stuck on the inside, and she low key couldn't get by. If she was on the outside, she would have won that race. So I just think she can't risk being in a bad position, so she will go to the front. And
For
she'll
me, I
dictate
think.
this race from the front, and she'll just run it. I think she's going to
Yeah.
try and just run a 154, and that's her tactic. And she knows that. Look, 9 times out of 10, no one's going to be able to live with that. It's almost like a Rhodesia back in 2012. I honestly feel like that's what we're watching here. I mean, by the way, Jenny Meadows and Trevor Payne are coming out and saying she's going to run 153 in her career, not the Olympic Games, but in her career. I was like, oh, talk about just loading up pressure before the. For the big one, like saying, yeah, she'll run that time, no problem. I was like, blimey.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, mate, because I think her best run this year was the in Eugene, and sitting off, being prepared to challenge it in a tactical race and not getting too caught up in it. And so I think she's proven she can do both.
Eugene wasn't that tactical. Mora was being stupid. And like, yeah, she just was able to gun Mora down over the last lap. Like, I don't think there was that many tactics involved in that. To be honest with you, I think she's gonna have to pay closer attention to Mora. Also, I feel like when you're running 154, like, you know, I know Mora goes through in 56, but like Keeley's probably gonna go through in close to that 56, 57, you know. So she's not gonna give her that much room, that much respect. So yeah, I think, and it, yeah, you're right. A lot of it depends what Mora does. There's other strong women in there as well. There's the Americans, but it does just feel like in this 800, everyone else is just a challenger.
Yeah, Natalia Gould potentially, obviously, like, not been on it this season, but look, 155 racer, you know. So
Yeah, man, and yeah, we say Natalia hasn't been on it this season. I mean, I think she's fourth in the world at the moment, isn't she?
yeah, I
But
mean, we're talking kind of these top five margins, aren't we? And it's like we say, Gemma Riki, we're like, yeah, we're not even talking about her after her performance. So
yeah,
it
I think the
shows you the
question for me,
level of the
yeah, the
game.
question for us is, can we get three Brits in the final? Obviously with these repechage rounds, I think that's a massive. It's just. I don't know. How do you feel about these, mate? The repechage rounds, like they're obviously going to play out. I think it's quite exciting. We're going to get to see more races, but it, you know, I think years gone by, there's been some drama in the heats. People have got knocked out, and you know, whether they fall over and bloody get bumped up or what, but people have been knocked out, and now they're just going to have a second chance. You just feel like, yeah. It, I guess it allows. It means that the semi-finals are really, really hot because no one's really going to miss out on a semi-final, especially not if you've got a repechage round. So all the good guns are going to be in semis, which means, you know, the final's going to be super, super contested.
For me, I think it's good because I don't like seeing these people like falling and then getting put through. So in that scenario, it's good. But in terms of like an extra way to get in, you're just going to be cooked, aren't you? If someone gets through on that round, right, and then like medals, for example, you're like fair play. You just run 4 1500s, for example. That's ridiculous.
I almost feel like if you get knocked out in the heats and then they're like, oh yeah, come back for the repechage round, I think a little part of you is going to be like, oh, like, do I really want to?
Unless you fall, for example. That's what I'm saying. Unless you're someone who falls or like you're like, I don't know, like touch wood, a Josh Kerr who just has like a real off day. And do you know what I mean? Like that's the only way it kind of is helpful. But if you're just a guy who should be getting knocked out anyway, like you said, yeah, you're probably thinking, whoa, here we go, it's a slog.
But I guess not, because I guess they're still in the mix, aren't they? But
yeah, it's Olympic Games. Maybe we're being unfair, aren't we?
Yeah, we probably are questioning their mentality a little bit. Everyone believes they can make the final, right? But yeah, so I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they play out. To be honest, it's just more distance races for us to enjoy. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to change the results. I don't think so. Not worth stressing over. But yeah, women's 800, man. I mean, yeah, we both put Keely for the win. I mean, Maura's in there, obviously. Maura's younger sister, by the way, 19. I think she's going to line up. And obviously, you've got the lady who, is it Adira, who won the Kenyan trials as well, beat Maura. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously doing it as well. So we'll see how they fare. I guess the only leveler is the rounds. The fact there is three races and what emotional and kind of physical stress will that take out of athletes? But yeah, I mean, will we get a 1-2? We got what, 2-4 in Tokyo? 2-4-7 in Tokyo.
I think we'll have three Brits in the final and we'll get two medals. Keely, one of them. Don't know who's going to get the other
one. You'll go next. Damn.
Who knows?
Sorry, this isn't a very global, I guess, sort of info, to be honest, with the women's 800, because, yeah, I guess next challengers, I mean, yeah, Lamont's run well. You mentioned the Toya Ghulam. I mean, Sekadizo. I mean, Tagum is the world indoor champ. She's obviously doing it. But yeah, to be honest, there's a few Americans as well, Nia Aitkins and Ali Wilson. But I mean, when you're sort of 3 seconds behind Keely,
it's tough.
Don't get much of a mention.
Yeah. And I think in the 800, you're just too far away, aren't you?
Man, yeah. 3 seconds. Even
like,
two
no
and a half seconds behind Ricci.
In a 15, you're like, oh yeah, well, maybe they end up running, I don't know, for the women, maybe they end up running outside 4 minutes, for example. I don't think they will, but like then you start talking about other people. But in the 8, I just don't think there's no way.
One thing I would say, pressure's off for pretty much every other woman in the 800. Like they're going to be making the final, and if they make that final, I do feel like we're going to get a Radisha-esque 2012 final on the women's side.
So, which could give like a surprise bronze to someone.
That's what I'm saying. So I think you are going to get those people who finish in late, they're finishing fast. You know, maybe that first lap is quick. Maura drags them during 55 high. Keely's sitting off it in 56, whatever. Like, and it's going to drag a lot of women to a fast time. We know the track's going to be outrageously fast as well. So, mate, and I guess that moves us over then. We'll go to the men's 800. Chance for a British medal there. Ben Patterson. World's bronze.
Max Bergen.
Bergen as well. Do you think Bergen will medal? I mean, I think for a
I said I think he will, but I think he's got a chance. You know, I never write that guy off. Like this year, he's done what he's needed to do.
There's too much depth in the 800 to see Bergen getting a medal. For me, I think it'd be amazing if Bergen makes the final, given his season and obviously just his last few seasons as well. Lack of racing. Don't know if he's had lack of training. We love the guy. We'd love to see him do well, but I just think, when there's guys running 141, you know, 142, again, we said, you know, 3 or 4 seconds is massive over the 800, and they're going to be negotiating the rounds a lot easier. I reckon Patterson will sneak a medal.
I hope he does. I hope he does. I think on Bergen, though, for me, it's almost I agree with what you're saying, but Bergen could be in 142 shape and we just wouldn't know. And that's almost the... We're getting the Max Bergen that we've been asking for years. We're like, well, okay, we don't want to see you. We don't want to see what you can do until the right time, so that we actually we see it at the champs, you know. So Who knows?
Yeah.
Like you say, though, I think, yeah, if he makes a final, I think that's a brilliant result. But at the same time, I would not be surprised if the guy comes out firing. The one I am looking forward to see, we'll get back onto Patterson, but Jake Wightman, like, is he gonna, for me, Jake Wightman's either gonna, he's either gonna bomb out in the heat or he's gonna win the whole thing. I don't think we're gonna see anything in between.
Thought about win. I mean, I think it'd be, yeah, I think if Whiteman makes a final, then anything can happen. My one reservation about Whiteman is like the 800s just seem to be really, really physical, and we've seen them time and time again. Like, I mean, World Indoors was a joke. It's happened a couple of times on the Diamond League. Obviously, they've run fast in Paris and Monaco, but you know, people can just get a race ruined, and it's Stockholm was messy. Or I remember when Whiteman ran in Stockholm, Patterson was in that race as well. It was one of those, either Stockholm or Oslo, Diamond Leagues, and yeah, it was just a messy race, man. And there's so much, and in the heats and semis, it's even worse. You know, people panic when they're out of position, whereas in Diamond Leagues, at least they're kind of like, okay, we're going for a fast time here. Whereas they really do panic there. But the one thing Whiteman's got going for him is I think his ability to negative split in 800 will be better than the others, because notoriously 800 runners aren't that great in negative splitting. They're so used to just running hard, running fast, and then basically, you know, they just get slower or manage to hold an even pace. Whereas because Whiteman's coming from that 1500 background where having a good change of pace is crucial, I feel like he's got a good chance at like really, especially getting through the rounds, you know, in the heats and
That's
the
it.
semis, if
The
they do go
rounds
through them.
as well.
Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. Oh, and I guess, yeah, you mentioned the rounds, how these men are coping. The timetable was generous though, mate. Like with the 1500, the timetable was so generous. Now they've been included that repechage round. The same with the 800. Like I don't see the rounds. You know, we've got the shoes and everything. These guys are so teched up now as well. I mean, taking everything like. I don't see the rounds as like I called them a leveler earlier on, and I guess they are in a sense of like it's more the kind of emotional athletes have to negotiate like the highs and lows all the time. Like you get yourself up, you caffeine yourself up, all your bike carb, all that nonsense, before you race, and then you have to come off it, go again. You know, you're
Trying to
up and
sleep as
down.
well
You've got to
after
sleep, yeah. Or you know, you're depleted, you're probably, you know, you're dehydrated, all that sort of thing. So that's where I see it as a leveler, but like actual fitness wise, like. I mean, these guys, like, you know, they've all got a day off in between. Like, it's not that big of a deal for these men.
but Wyman's a world champion. He knows how to win on a global stage. And I think in terms of that physical and emotional burden, I think that makes it a lot easier when you've done it before like that. And I also think, look, there's no pressure for Wyman in this 800
No.
at all. So if he can come in here fit, I have no idea how his training's gone. So we haven't seen him like,
I'm sitting race.
yeah. So who knows? But look. Wyman, zero pressure, an 800 after three rounds, with people going off as quick as they have been recently as well. You try and do that after three rounds and you are a bit fatigued, like we said in the women's side, people are going to be coming back to you.
They will
So.
come back to you, but like I said, it's just getting around the bodies. I mean, yeah, you know, Whiteman. He's not going to be able to go through that first 200 in like 24 mid like these blokes will, you know, when they're kind of getting after it. And so there is going to be bodies in front of him that he's going to have to negotiate, and whether he can, you know, whether he can do that smoothly and not get kind of pushed or, you know, right out into lane three or something will be the deal breaker, man. If he can weave his way through these rounds, he's going to shout come to final. How do we think the final is going to play out anyway? I mentioned Patterson has more than enough in the tank to get another medal. He's way better than he was last year, and he got a bronze. And I think he looks at it as well, like, you know, people like Tuao and Atui and people like that, like the other Europeans. Like, I think he considers himself better than them. I do anyway. But
Yeah, absolutely. I
they've
think.
raced a little bit more this season, and I think they just Tuao coming off such of a high of the Europeans. Like I said, he got into Paris and stuff, and obviously he ran 141 there, and you know, but it's fine margins. I mean, Patterson's like 0.5 second behind him.
Yeah, what I like about Patterson, and it seems like him and Dave Reagan, they've just been prepping for the Olympics. Like they've not worried about the Europeans. It's so easy as a British athlete at maybe it's unfair to say. I was going to say at Patterson's level, but look, he's medaled last year, so that's probably a bit unfair to say. But I was going to say like it's so easy for a British athlete to think in a European year, actually, I'm just going to go for that and try and win a Euros, for example, and think then I'll just go to the Olympics. But I love how they seem to have prepped purely for this Olympics. Smash it at the trials. I wish we'd managed to see kind of everyone finish that race, because I'd love to see kind of whether him or Kurt had taken that in the end. But
I mean, Patterson won it in the end, mate.
well, he obviously did win it in the end, didn't he? But
No,
you
I mean,
never
even if Kerr sort of didn't get tangled with Giles.
I don't know. I don't think Giles was winning it, let's put it that way. But so yeah, I definitely think he's got a chance, mate. One person me and you have been talking about recently, Bryce Hopple. He's someone that smashed a quick eight at the end of three rounds at the US Champs.
25-1 people on Bet365. I thought it was stellar odds, by the way.
Yeah. Seriously going under the radar because of these diamond leagues that have gone on in the past few weeks, that obviously as an American he's not bothered to come over for.
Yeah, and I think there's a, you know, it's the same kind of in the men's 15 as well, isn't it? Like, if you weren't in those diamond leagues, you're basically forgotten about going into the major champs. And he has a few other races, women's 15 as well. Like all those Americans, you know, they didn't come over for it. So what could they have run in Paris? But yeah, honestly, mate, I think Bryce Hopple, I mean, I put him in my team to my predictions to win. I just think he's a really good racer. He seems on it, he seems full of confidence, seems to be loving his running since he's moved coach and set up as well, and training with Hobbs and stuff. So I've put him to win. I don't know, that's just me like wanting him to win over people like Sajati and Wanyonyi and stuff. But hey, look, Kenya, I mean, what, they've won the Olympic Games for, they haven't lost an Olympic Games since 2008. I think they won it in 2008 with Bungei, and obviously Rhodesia conquered for a few years, and then Emmanuel Carrere. So yeah, they're keen to defend it, Wanyonyi and Kinyamal. So let's see how those boys go. But yeah, I just think this, what's scary is there is 11 men in the world who have run one. Arop's 11th on the world rankings, 142.9. 11 men in the world, sub 143. So in this final, we could probably have eight men in the final with a lifetime best at 142.5 and quicker. Whether, you know, that's of all the top five, you know, can anyone, like, I don't know, kind of Brandon Miller, Kessler, like Kramer, even he's 143.1. Like, can these guys make the final? We'll see.
Yeah, mate, and you mentioned them Kenyans. I've gone Kinyamal in my team, partly because of that stat that we were speaking about the other day. Yeah, the Kenyans. Also, I just love a Kenyan in 800, you know. And I think it's a bit like you with like backing Hopple. We tend to back people who we're urging them to win, aren't we? So who knows? But now I'm thinking maybe I should have gone Wanyonyi. So who knows? We'll see. Wanyonyi obviously won the Kenyan trials, but I think Kinyamal's looked a bit better on the circuit. So
Hey, that's funny. I mean, neither of us are backing the world leader who's looked very, very good. Sajati, you know, 141 twice. He's been dominated diamond leagues, but I don't know how. I think the final might play out. I can't see the final being, I mean, for me, either one of these Kenyans take it out really hot or no one takes it out. I can't see the final being electric. I think there's too many men in the field who actually they're not comfortable front running. And unfortunately, in this men's 800 final, whoever finds himself at the front through that kind of first 200, oh man,
Yeah, and I think that's
know
where,
you're gonna get you just know you're gonna get swamped.
yeah, that's where Arop kind of getting beat the other day really kind of meant there was going to be no natural front runner. Because I think if
Yeah.
Arop had come in, like he obviously didn't run in, what am I thinking? He didn't run
Paris.
in Paris. Obviously came back and ran the week later, tried to get in on the action. Obviously still ran pretty quick. But yeah, didn't kind of play off for him. And I think he's your only natural front runner in there. But had he won that race, he's probably going into this thinking I've got to do that. But he's gonna front run and he's just not quick enough to run it out of them. So but then saying that, who knows, maybe he's timed his peak to perfection and actually Arop's gonna be fitter, he's gonna be
So then
faster.
we're talking about that. We're talking about that last 100, that last 200 being crucial, maybe. And then, to be fair, you look at Sajati in his last 100 and 200, you're just like, mate, the guy goes up another level in that last 100. So We're both probably idiots for not putting him in our
Well, that's it.
predictions.
Yeah, we're talking about it now, and I'm thinking Sajai,
Yeah, well,
as an Andrew, he's got everything. Like he's nimble in his ability to kind of weave in and out of people. He's run a quick time. He's got a great kick.
he has good kick. He's
Why
scrappy
would
as
you
well.
not
Like
like
he's
him?
got he's previous world medalist. Like he's good in scrappy races and like really fighting for those minor positions. So yeah, we've mucked it up. Basically, put Sajai in team. He takes it. Anyway, man, let's go to the 1500. Let's just carry on with the men, mate. Ingebrigtsen, I mean, did you put him down to do a double as well, 15 and 5? But you think
I
Ingebrigtsen's
did not,
going to
mate.
win?
I did not.
Oh, did you not? Oh, sorry, we were looking at the odds, weren't we? We were getting obsessed with Jesus. We spent about 3 hours on, was it Friday, on a phone call, just browsing odds and talking about, like, just basically what we're talking about now. So.
Don't gamble, kids. But yeah, Jakob, I've gone for Josh Kerr again. Maybe that's me being willing him on to get the win. But at the same time, Kerr has shown, if we ignore Jakob for a second, Kerr has shown no weaknesses this season. Kerr has shown no weaknesses since he won that title last year. So why would I not back him, you know? And Jakob, yeah, he's in the shape of his life, but still doing exactly what we know Jakob's always been able to do. He's not shown me anything else in terms of being able to stop what Wightman did or stop what Kerr did. He's not developed in that way for me, or he's not proven he has. Maybe he has in the champs, we will see, but he's not done anything that's made me think, oh yeah, he's addressed that issue in his ability to win a championship 1500 meters. So that's why I've gone with Josh Kerr.
I think he's fitter than he's ever been. He's probably like, because he's lost the past two worlds, he's like hungrier. And
Yeah, where his head's gonna go. He's messing around making them music videos. I was like, if I'm Josh Kerr and I see that thing come out,
that's 10 out of 10,
I am
mate.
so much more confident
That
now.
was 10 out of 10.
Oh, it's
I'm
horrendous.
Norgest folk. Mate, that video is so good, so catchy. I'm trying to learn the lyrics, to be honest with you.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
Man, I thought it was 10 out of 10, mate. That's exactly the marketing you want going into the Olympic Games. Like, mate, I loved it, mate. I've listened to it on repeat for the last few days, mate. The Josh Kerr, man, he hasn't run a 1500 all year. I mean, he ran the pre-classic mile, that's it. He hasn't done like, and he's done three 800s. Obviously, like two of those were at British Champs, and one of those was a 153. And I'm just like, he just had, and obviously, like, he's only done 2 3Ks, that was indoors. The guy, I actually couldn't
The
believe it
world
when I
champs
saw.
indoors.
Huh?
He won a world champs indoors, mate.
That's what I'm saying. He did 2 3Ks
Yeah, but
indoors.
you're passing off as 2 3Ks. He's a 3K world champion indoors. That's a difference with that's difference running 2 3Ks, mate.
Yeah, but
I
like,
think he was gonna win that British champs, right? If you're sat saying, right, his last races, he's won the world champion
Patterson was in
1500.
a better position.
He's won
Patterson
the
was in a better.
pre-classic mile. He's won the world indoors over 3K and he's a British champ over 800 meters. You're like, fuck me, this guy's smashing this.
Yeah, it's true. The only point I'm making is I was just like, even I was like, when I looked at, kind of looking at what he's done, I was like, man, he's done so little, like race wise. And to think that he hasn't even run a 1500 this year. Obviously, he's done the mile, but I was like, really? That's so ballsy. And that's what he's known for. That's why we love him. And that's, and I guess a little bit of that as well. Like, if you're Ingebrigtsen, it's like, God, like, I haven't seen him race. The only time I've seen him race, he did the pre-classic mile and he beat me. And it was, well, by the time the Olympics comes around, 3 months ago. So it's like, or I guess 2.5 months, it was 10 weeks prior. And it's like, so he hasn't given away any cards of like where he is, how good he is. So like, obviously, we see Jakob run 3:26, and for me, I was like, oh wow, like that's, he's run faster than he's ever run. Like, he's been unstoppable in the last few years. Obviously, he's lost two world championships, but, and I'm just like, oh mate, like surely that's gonna, that will challenge Kerr. But Kerr could be in 3:25 shape for all we know. And look, when we spoke to him last year, he said he's going to need to get down to, basically, he was just hinting towards like it's going to take pretty much world record shape to win. And well, looking at where Jakob is.
Yeah, and look, I'm a believer. I think he's in the shape to beat Jakob. But whatever happens, it's going to be fascinating to have both of them back. Like I think I said it on a pod a few weeks ago. I'm so glad Jakob has come out and he is back to his best, better than his best, because I was a bit concerned that he's going to be injured, come back, not be quite sharp this year. And we wouldn't get the showdown we really want. But look, we're getting it. No one else is going to challenge them too. Like not even close. I think it's going to be a battle for bronze. Me and you've been talking about Cole Hocker. You
Oh,
think he
mate.
might be able to challenge? I don't think so. I think he gets the bronze. But
Dangerous, mate. Dangerous,
yeah.
mate. Oh, same as there, mate. I mean, I just think it's the Olympic final. It's never been plain sailing. Yep. I think obviously it is the Josh Kerr and the Jakob show. But I mean, when you just think I mean, the two Kenyans, by the way, Cheruiyot in the form of his life, believe it or not. And you know he ran a PB in Monaco, and so did Komen as well. Both of them running 3:28, so they're here to challenge. But I just think Cole Hocker, mate, that kick, and if they have a rest period in this race at any point, if this race slows at any point to a 3:29, 3:30 race, Cole Hocker for me, if he's in the right position. Now sometimes he can't get in the right position and he's too far back or he's stuck on the inside or something. But I just think Cole Hocker has just as good as kick as Whiteman and Kerr had in previous years when they overtook Jakob like on the back straight and you know and or on the bend Kerr last year. And I just think if Hocker is in the right place at the right time and it is a 3:30 race, I think he's got a better kick than anyone in the field. I really do. He's got a better kick than Kerr.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a 3:30 race though. But like you say, if they step off the gas a bit, then yeah. But I think we're going to see 3:28, maybe quicker after rounds, which is sickening.
I do think there is a bigger, yeah. I mean, I do think there is a big divide, actually. I do feel like Jakob and Kerr have taken it up another level, and I do feel like the others are, you know, they're kind of these boys are running 3:26. Like Kerr's beaten Jakob this year already. Like we probably think Kerr could run 3:26, and I feel like you got a few men running 3:26, and then you got guys running 3:30. So I do feel like there's that actual gap.
3:30 is the new 3:34, mate. Like,
No, nah,
it is.
I mean 3:31 is the new 3:34, mate.
Fine, whatever. The semantics. We're talking, yeah. But you know what I mean. So, just different game. Look, that's the look. I think is that the one you're most looking forward to, mate? It's got to be,
Mate,
hasn't it? For
15.
everyone, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, obviously it's gonna be some amazing races, but I mean that's 10 out of 10. By the way, tickets. Speaking to a mate the other day, bought tickets for the Saturday night. Men's 5, men's 800, 100 quid. So if you're thinking about going, he's just done it. He's £300, and that includes his flight and accommodation. Don't know where he's staying, but mate, there's still tickets for that last night. If you're on the fence, get to it. I've got an 800 ticket for the women's 800 final on the Monday night if anyone wants it. Unfortunately, I paid some silly price for it back in March and regret that decision. I can't seem to shift it. So there you go. I'm £180 out of pocket at the moment, but. Be
There you
willing
go.
to,
Message us if you want to sit next to me.
yeah, you'd be sitting next to me for 3 hours in the stadium. So,
Wow, that's got to be worth 180 quid.
yeah,
Wow. Anyway, let's get over to.
wait there.
Oh, you're not done.
Gawley, we got to talk about Gawley, and we
Yeah,
got to talk about
we should.
Mills.
We should.
Firstly, are we going to see three Brits in the final?
No.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just.
Mate, it's so deep.
I just think the standard's too good, and I just think, and this isn't. I'm not trying to kind of knock these athletes at all in Mills and Gawley, but. It's. I think it's our weakest 15 team for a number of years.
Oh shit. Mate, Gawley's in great shape. And look, the problem is as well, we didn't get to see either of them. At the end of
True,
the car
true.
mile, and that's
So,
the problem. Had they gone and I mean,
yeah.
like I said, I reckon one of them could have at least challenged Ollie Hall for the win. 3:49 is not beyond either of them. Like
No, but I wasn't impressed by anyone in that race.
Ah, no, was
Well,
all right, but
so if they got the win in that, I'm probably still thinking.
mate, I reckon we get 3 men in the final, no questions.
I hope we do. I hope we do.
I think it will be, but it is so deep, and I guess with Norley and Mills, I guess I'll just play it safe, and it'd be amazing if one of them snuck another medal as well. But I can't quite see it, to be honest with you. Just with the depth and the Kenyans, and you got people like Nguce and Hocker, and Nguce's head to head again. Like if you put Jakob Kerr and Nguce and Chariot and people like that, they're head to head against people like Gourley and Mills is heavily,
We've
heavily
seen people
weighted
like
to
Ollie
them.
Hall
So
be knocked out in rounds, mate. Might happen against him as well this year. Like,
Elliot Charles is the ninth fastest man in the world this year, by the way. Crazy. He's not in the Olympic Games.
yeah, just I guess that it's just the difficulties of British champs when you can't double. So very
Yeah.
difficult,
George
like.
Mills is the 13th fastest man in the world this year. Take out Charles, take out. That's it, actually. He's 12th. And obviously, what, 12 in the final? Usually.
Yeah.
Emma. So here we go. Right. Women's 15. Okay. This is an event. Oh, firstly, actually, I mean, how many world records are we seeing in the Olympic Games? I think we're gonna see a world record in, ooh, I was gonna say two distance events. Like it's doable in the men's 800 if they go off quick enough and someone sort of sacrifices himself a little bit.
I
Like they've
don't
got
think we'll see
so,
it in those.
huh?
I don't think we'll see any 800s
You
either.
don't think we'll see any world records?
Nah, not in the eights.
I think we're gonna see a scary amount of world records just actually when you start including the bloody sprints. I mean, McLaughlin will run a hurdles world record. Mondo will vault a world record. Where else is there world record potential, mate?
No
No.
alarms.
No.
Hey, he talks about them.
Yeah. I'm cheering for the Jamaican anyway, mate. No, Lars is too much main character energy for me. I can't handle it.
Yeah, he's like Jakob.
No, Jakob's way cooler.
Oh.
Jakob don't try as hard.
He
Lyles
just released
tries to be the main
a
character.
song.
That was his brother's idea.
Yeah, okay. He agreed to it for starters. Should have been doing
All
some
right.
thresholds instead. Right, anyway. We'll get into this women's 15. We'll chat about those world records later. Women's 15, obviously, Faith Kipyegon,
Yeah,
the
hands
GOAT.
down.
She, the only person we're looking at here is Jess Hull, really.
Say that. I mean, Segai is in a 15 and 5 double, and she ran 350 back in flipping April, along with her Ethiopian teammates. By the way, the Ethiopian team is a little bit of a shame. Like, it is, I don't know if many people have been paying attention, but the sort of selection for it. I don't really know how they select the team, but like they've got some, yeah. I mean, like for example, Kijelcha is not even in the five; he's in the 10, and they've got Aragara in the 10, and they've got this Mahari guy in the five. Their selection, by the way, if you go through, you'll see in the prediction contest, like there's some names not in events, and you're just like, what the hell's happened here? And I know that the athletes are very frustrated by it. I think it's a lot worse than the British selection, by the way. So yeah, I feel like Ethiopia, they haven't quite got all their big guns in the right races. But there you have it. And I think Segai was supposed to do the 15.5 and the 10, by the way. And like I say, haven't seen they came out firing in Xiamen or Xiamen, the Diamond League then, but haven't really seen too much of her since. So but yeah.
Yeah, maybe she's doing
Yeah.
Josh Kerr, you know? Maybe she's just
She's doing Josh Kerman.
training, getting herself ready. But yeah, you make a good point, actually. It's probably, yeah, Segai, Kip Yegon, Jess Hull will be your top three. Question for you. Can Laura Muir medal? Is there a scenario in this race where Laura Muir can medal?
Yeah, I think her best bet is Kipyegon going for the world record. and a couple of the Ethiopians popping.
Mm.
But saying that, you know, there's three Ethiopians ahead of Muir, Segei, Haylam, and Weltergé. And obviously you've got Hole and Kipyegon. So, you know, would they pop? And would Muir be able to come back to them? But also,
yeah, and you've got other people probably hoping for some,
this
like Kieran McGeehan coming through. Like,
nah, McGeehan's not the races this year, I don't think. But you know, yeah, I appreciate you do have her got, you know, have got her coming through. Like, she's got the pedigree, if she can get it right. But it's more, you know, you've got the Americans behind her, Nikki Hills, you know, all three of them, St. Pierre as well. All three of them have run 3:55. They did it at the US Trials, and you got people like Lyndon Hall, 3:56 girls. Yeah. So she's going to have people on her. So I would say the best way for her to get a medal is probably a fast race. But yeah, that would be an insane run. And I actually think if she got a medal, that'd probably be one of the best runs of her career, given the level of 1500 meter running right now.
I think this is the one where we might see a world record.
Oh yeah. I mean, if Kipyegon runs 3:48, that is a joke.
Yeah. And this is one where that we used to say, like, oh yeah, the whole field running inside four would be like ridiculous. We basically saw that at the US champs.
Mate, you won't make the final if you don't break four.
Yeah, we could see the whole field running inside 3:56.
Do you know how many women have broken 4 minutes this year?
Go on, tell me, mate.
35.
That's sickening.
That's scary, isn't it?
Wow.
That's scary. 4 minutes. It's like, and Walker Nolan, by the way, is 35th on the rankings with four flat.
Mm.
However, a lot of those women are multiple Americans, multiple Ethiopians. And
yeah.
Yeah, so take them out, and Walker Nolan's a lot further up the actual kind of start list, I guess. But yeah, 35 women this year. It's kind of crazy.
How many Brits in the final, mate?
Huh?
How many Brits in the final?
Yeah, mate, I think we've got a good chance of three. I think obviously, I mean, I can see Georgia Bell 100% in the final. Potentially, I mean, you know, I know Muir ran exceptionally well in Paris, but potentially see Georgia Bell be the first Brit home. Like, I can see a scenario where, if she goes and runs 3:54 or something, that would just be the most freaky season ever. But I could see it. Honestly, I could see her running quicker than 3:56. Like, yeah. 3:56 was, so like, it might have even been her first time sub four. I don't know. Can't quite remember. But yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, so she's got that fast race in her belt now. And I think she can go again. So, but yeah, I think Kipyegon wins. I think Jess Hull pips Segei for silver, because she'll kind of key off of Segei if Segei's on it. And if Segei gets bronze, mate, that's probably how that's going to play out. Obviously, no done deal. So look forward to that. And we've already spoke about the men's 15. Crikey, I haven't got too much more to talk about, mate. I mean, we'll move to the fives. Kipyegon for me. I mean, on the women's five, by the way, Kipyegon, yeah, she wins that for me.
Yeah, obviously you got some quick ladies in there, but with Kipyegon's pedigree in the 15, you just...
Oh, gosh, it's good. Hey, when you can...
Oh, and I presume we're both going to say the same when we move over to the men's 5K about Jakob.
Yeah.
Like, when you have 1,500-meter runners that are at the top of the game...
Yeah.
In a 5K where they are anywhere near, like, some of the top 5K runners... You can't look past them, really, can you?
And the way they're both trained. You know, Kipyegon does loads and loads of mileage. Jakob does loads and loads of mileage. Well, yeah, like they both train like 5,000 runners. Yeah, and it's, you know, and so, yeah, for me, easy. And I just haven't seen enough from the 5K guys in the world at the moment, enough kind of ability to front run at a championship. Like, the last few championships, feel like they've had the opportunity to test him. I mean, Jakob's been down bad both in Oregon and in Budapest, you know, and they just haven't tested him enough. And they've just, I don't want to say they've handed it to him, but for me, they just did not challenge him enough at all. And I can see the same thing happening, to be honest with you. And look, you've got amazing runners like Gebrewet, and, you know, the guys run 12:36. There's a Kijelcha running 12:38. Like I said, he's not in the bloody 5K. God knows how. And, you know, people like Kip Limo, but I just feel like they're not going to run 12:36. Even if they run 12:50, Jakob's on your shoulder and he goes to the front and he wins the race.
I don't think they run as quick as that, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they break 13.
Look, tiebreaker on the prediction contest is the men's 5K. We feel like it's the most interesting. Also, it's got quite a big scope to be a slow race or a fast race. So it's quite hard to kind of nail that. But I've gone for 12:58 for the winning time.
Have you? I've gone for 13:10, I think.
That's too slow, mate. They run the last mile in 3:55.
Mate, history tells us.
Slow. You went through the bloody history, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I think the Olympic record is Bikili. I want to say 12:57 in Beijing, 12:57.
I looked at, when was it, Worlds, a couple years ago, they ran like 13:30.
What, in Oro? Did they really run that slow?
Yeah.
Shit. That's what I mean. I just haven't seen enough from these guys. Championship
just
racing.
Yeah, you just don't know. And I thought about it. Like, you think about Farah's PB. The reason his PB is so slow is because they never had to run quick.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I had a little look and I was surprised myself, to be fair. I was like, there's no way. It's the reason we all get those predictions wrong for the British champs. We're like, oh, yeah, they're on 13:20 this year.
They haven't run 13:20 at British champs in a long time. So.
But yeah. So the women's and the men's five, we're both back in those 50 runners.
Simple
we're
as.
Back in, well, you're back in Jakob and Kipyegon to double in the 15 and the five.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Kipyegon doubles, but
it's crazy, like the chances of them both doing it. But yeah. I think I would have potentially like put someone like Kijelcha to really challenge in the five. He's got a good kick on him. He's still pretty young and stuff, but obviously he's not doing it. So,
yeah. And then on the women's side, yeah, Sege probably is your, because again, she has that 1500 meter pedigree too.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? What about Brits then? Obviously, in that we've got no one in the women's five, but in the men's five, Mills, Akin, Diva, any of them make the final in the five?
Oof. You question me.
I think Mills has a shot. You know. I do think it depends on how that 15 goes.
Look, it depends what Sam Atkin we're gonna get. If Sam Atkin goes in front to run 12:56, he makes it. But I haven't seen him run any other way. We haven't seen him run well unless he's front. Like if he's at the front running, he runs well. If he's in the pack, he just drops off or drops out. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, let's hope that arthritic foot issue holds up.
I think Mills is a good shot, though. Mills does have a good shot. I mean, is he underestimating the fact that if he makes it all the way to the 1500 final, how tired he's going to be? How many... I mean, do you remember...
Maybe that's his thing. Like, I think Mills prioritises the 15, doesn't he? He sees himself as a 15.
Yeah,
guy,
do you remember...
So almost the five is a free hit if the 15 goes bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not free hit, sorry. It's a free hit if the 15 goes well. It's a redemption if the 15 goes bad, isn't it? So it's probably a good way around for him.
Yeah, let me double check. Because the men's 15 final is the 6th of August.
They normally have a day off, don't they? After the 15 final, they have a day off. Then
No, mate. So I thought I'm right, man. They do the final and then the next morning. So the final will be at 8 o'clock, pretty much. And then the men's 5K heats are at 10 o'clock the next day. So like, and this is what I mean. So for Jakob, it's okay because he's within himself on the 5K heats. But Mills, he's going to have to be on his absolute A game to make the 5K final. And so that's the only question mark. I think if he was just doing the 5K, I'd probably back him to make the final.
Yeah, and me. And I think if he doesn't make the 15 final, he'll make it. If he gets knocked out in the semis at the 15, I think he makes it in the 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the 5 is really hard to call because, again, people haven't raced that much. Like, you've got all the guys who did the Oslo Diamond League. You know, that's basically 1 to 10 on the rankings. And you've got people like Grant Fisher and Cheptegei and people like that. But we just haven't seen much of them at all. They've all kept their cards quite close to their chest. So even someone like Grijalva, you know, coming fourth at the last two worlds and stuff, like, is he better? Is he fitter? Like, is he meddling?
We got no fastest losers though, which I think is good.
Oh yeah, they're no faster
So that
losers.
helps. That helps. It makes it fairer for making that final. So
Yep.
it's all good. It's all good. I think Mills got a shot, but it's gonna be tough. I think for me here, yeah, out of all the Brits, he's got the best chance, despite doing that 15.
Agreed. Hey, mate, men's 10,000. I mean, Barega's defended champ. I'm going for Kjeldtjer, 26:31. Him and Aragawi ran. Barega ran 26:34. That is one hell of a team.
Oh,
Kjeldtjer,
they're unreal, aren't they? They those Ethiopian
Aragawi,
boys are quality. I
no
love
one
them.
challenges them, mate. No one challenges.
I've gone Kip Lima, bro.
What?
Yeah. Kip Lima.
Nah, for me,
Clip this
no.
down, George, as you're going through this. Clip this down.
I just ain't seen the wheelhouse. I haven't seen the wheelhouse from Kiplimo. I just think these boys, they're 1, 2, 3. I actually think Ethiopia sweep, mate. Kjeldtjer, Garen, Barega, they sweep. Yeah, you know, Kiplimo, Cheptegei, they'll battle it out. Grant Fisher and stuff. I think this 10K could be a bloodbath as well. I think they're gonna get after it, mate. They're gonna run fast. They're not gonna run 27:30 pace and close. They're setting off at sub 27. I hope that's my dream final.
Yeah, with Kip Lima coming and cleaning up for me. I love him. I just love him. Look,
I
he's
do love him, but
world cross country champion. That he can't sniff at that. He can run quick. He's got a good kick. It's time, mate. It's gonna be like seeing Cheptegei a few years ago. Kip Lima this year. Just you watch. But
And a
I'm also
fast
yeah.
race probably does help him. I've been waiting for Kiplimo to just destroy a
That's what
championship 10,000 in
I
years,
mean.
and he hasn't
And
done it.
I think no, but
So,
I think this is it. This is the year, mate. This is the year.
yeah. Well,
Them Ethiopian boys. The good thing about this one is it's quite nice. I'm sort of like, I'd be so happy to see Kjeldtjer, Aragawi, Barega, Kiplimo, even Cheptegei.
yeah.
So happy to see any of those win because I just know, like, whatever happens, it's going to be an unbelievable race.
Yeah. I agree with that, mate.
So,
It's gonna be tasty. It's on Saturday night. Is it Saturday night? Yeah, I
Friday
think
night,
so.
isn't it?
Friday night even.
Friday night, I think.
Jesus. Yeah, it's Friday night, mate. Yeah,
Yes,
sorry,
it's not
second
long to
world.
go at all.
Bang. Wow. By the way, that
Kicking us
first
off.
Friday, we've got the men's 15 heats in the morning. Fantastic. That's it. That's all of interest. Loads of 100 heats as well.
Hey, we love the
Women's
sprints.
five, huh?
We love the sprints these days. I'll be watching all of
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's just
them.
there's just a lot of them. You got women's 5K, men's 10,000 Friday night. Oof. Women's 800 heats as well. That'd be good to watch. Oh, I just can't wait to have my TV on 24/7, consuming the Olympic Games. To be honest with you, don't even much work's gonna get done in the next 10 days. Where are we then, man? 10,000. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, quickly then, women's 10,000. Then we'll move to the steeples, and then we'll finish up with those maras.
Yeah, women's steeple. Obviously, Beatrice Chebet. She's the one who the bookies are going for.
Oh,
Twenty.
you mean Chip Kirch, mate? Yeah.
Yeah, 28:54. This is
Oh,
a race.
you're talking about a women's 10, sorry, mate. You're talking about a women's 10.
Yeah, that's all we're on, aren't we?
Oh, sorry, mate. I'm trying to move to the steeples here. Yeah, carry on with the women's 10, sorry.
Yeah. Beatrice Chebet, mate, 28:54 in Eugene this year. I don't know how you argue with that time. Obviously, I actually had a little sneak at some people's predictions. Some people were saying Hassan.
Oh, by the way, yeah, we haven't mentioned her, but mate, nope.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's making finals in some of the races.
No. She's looked.
You've got to be in better form than what she's shown over 1500 and stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know what she's doing. She's biting off more than she can chew. I just feel like either she's going to come out and do something outrageous, and then I'd have serious question marks because I'm like, you haven't shown this form in many months. Or she, yeah, or she's just not going to make the final, and basically possibly the 5, possibly the 1500. Like, obviously 10,000 is a straight final, but yeah, she's it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. It'll be one of the story of the games, but yeah, I'm surprised people have been going for Hassan, to be honest.
I guess it's just pedigree, isn't it? Like, it's she's one of those athletes that has been so good that you feel not guilty, but like you're like, who bets against her, you know, more than betting for her. You're like, yeah, how can you bet against her, Sam? Because if anyone's gonna pull out some madness, it's probably that lady. But yeah, I went for Chebet. I've just gone for the fastest time, if I'm honest with you. You know, women's 10, you just it's just not enough 10s, and we've seen it in the same in the men's. Like, we don't see him race 10ks on a circuit all year round, so it's so hard to pick a winner. You go the same, mate?
Yeah, I did, mate.
So, but that's probably us being unknowledgeable. I'd say that's the probably the event I
I'll hold my hands up and say the women's 10,000 is, yeah,
At the moment, anyway, yeah.
probably pretty unpredictable. And yeah, it's probably the one that I guess I haven't kind of followed the stories as much. I just think it's dominated by Ethiopians and Kenyans at the moment. It really is. They're a standout, and it's just gonna be a battle off, isn't it, between the Ethiopians and the Kenyans. But when you've got a woman running sub 29 minutes, for God's sake, how can you get a bet? How can you bet against her?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right then. Yeah, just sort of was just sort of thinking about Hassan a little bit as well. And obviously, she did well in Tokyo, almost did the triple in Tokyo, but yeah, I feel like she was, her track pedigree was a lot stronger back then as well. That was 3 years ago, and she was, running world class times in 2019 and 2018 over 1500. Like, she was having those in even back in bloody sort of 2017, 2015. She was 2016, sorry, she was one of the best in the world over 1500. I just feel like for anyone, no matter how good you are, to be like let's take her from 2019 when she did the was it a 15 and a 10 double, like take her from then to like now, like that's 5 years on,
I think it's just
you'll be the
you
best
can
in the
almost,
world.
after your first marathon, you can almost get away with coming back. But once you've like trained for a couple, been sort of considered a marathon runner for a period of time, you're just so far away from that sort of training. Like doing 10K pace stuff as a marathon runner is speed work, which
That's the issue.
for someone who wants to race on a track is so far away.
But I guess look, she'll be in the conversation for the marathon, maybe. But then I'm like, well, will she? Because she's just absolutely buried herself for the last 10 days by the time
Yeah,
the
if
marathon
she does all
is.
the events, you know. Like,
But
is she actually gonna line up in all of these events?
yeah, good point.
So, and I think that's I guess the benefit of competing for a country like Netherlands, that to be fair, I haven't checked their rankings, but I presume you're not taking anyone's spot by being entered in all of them.
Yeah, probably not,
So.
mate. Probably not. Right, let's go. Yeah, that's the women's 10. Sorry we haven't guided you that much on that one and given you too much background on all the other people in the race. But yeah, women's steeple then. I mean, I've gone with Yavi for the win just because, her pedigree and stuff, but this is actually a tough one to call as well. I mean, could we see an American win it as well? They're all running low 9 minutes. All right.
Yeah, I think it's another one of those when you got ladies that can run A50s, low 9 minutes is just not good enough in my opinion. Like, you talk about Yavi 850, but Chepkoech is running 51. So I think if only one person is able to run that time, yeah, you throw other people into the mix because they're going to go off on their own. But we see a quick race, someone's gonna be there following, and there's gonna be two of them, and they're not both gonna fade. Maybe you get people on the podium, but yeah,
I think they, yeah, I think they will. I think American will medal, just like I think, you know, either a European or an American or someone like Beamish or someone will medal in the men's race. I think they could even sneak a silver, depending on how that race plays out. But yeah, honestly, I feel like just Americans are just so well drilled. I just feel like you can trust them a little bit more as well. Like there's sometimes the Kenyans and stuff, they can get a bit wrapped up and maybe go too hard or have a little bit of a stumble and stuff. Whereas you look at like Valerie Constein and Courtney Wayman and stuff, like they're so dialed in, they're very good technically as well. And I feel like they've had the experience of the US trials and they've proved they can come out and run 9.0s after a heat, and I think that counts. So yeah, rather than kind of, and then you think, yeah, what can they do like in Paris, Olympic Games, peaking crowd, getting dragged around as well, medals on the line. I think I've possibly you could even see one of them break 9. But yeah, I guess they're the real challengers. And obviously you got Fino of France as well. She's 9.05. But yeah, I've still gone with kind of like the safe bet going for Yabi. But yeah, you mentioned Chepkoech and Chimutai of Uganda as well. Those two are up and at it. You know, some of the best in the world. So Lizzie Bird as well. I mean, we're going to see a British record from her. We're going to see a low 9.0 clocking from her.
I think we are, mate. I think she's going to do...
I agree.
...do brilliantly. Look, we talk about the Americans being like, oh, yeah, they can get on a podium. But Lizzie Bird's got just as much chance as they do. Jeez. She's timed this season well and improving still at a steady... Look, I wouldn't want to bet against her. She's a great athlete, mate. So we'll see. It's obviously a big ask, but I think
as well, it just always depends how the race plays out. Like,
and a heat, well. Steeple heats are brutal in terms of
heats are brutal
recovering from that because it could be an absolute slogfest in the heat and also normally like time of day as well. I actually haven't looked at the timetable, but you end up running one in the scorching heat in the day.
No, they're in the evening, okay. So that's good. Yeah,
so all good there, but
yeah, but I think for Bird, if the race plays out like single file, they're running 9 minute pace. That's perfect. Like, you get on that train. Hopefully, you pick a few people off if they fade. You find yourself in fourth or fifth in the Olympic Games.
Yeah,
but like that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Whether she's got the ability, I'm not sure she's quite world class enough to get a medal, mate.
I think previously, yeah, we've seen American women be right up there, but I just think if you're talking about them being in for shots of medals this year, then I don't see them as
maybe
on their shoulders above Lizzie Bird, to be honest.
Maybe. Okay, the men's steeple. This one, yeah, is pretty wide open. Obviously, you got Germer, he's running 8.01. We haven't seen him since.
Got a few Ethiopians. We haven't seen a lot of is the man himself, Sufyan El-Bakkali.
Yep.
I've still backed him, mate, because I just think if he's lining up, mate, he's lining up to win. And he is just, he's ridiculous in a championship race. He's so quick in terms of like his time, but his turn of pace is good. His strength is good. He's just an absolute savage out there.
Well, this is what makes me feel it's going to be a slow tactical race because neither Germer or El-Bakkali, they might both be in insane shape. We don't know. I'm not quite sure why I haven't seen much of Germer, whether he's been injured or what. But, mate, it does seem to be a theme, actually. Like, when you really analyse, like, the very best in their disciplines, like, they've all hardly raced.
But this, like, is, my
Josh,
about, this is my
Josh
point
Kerr,
about...
like... We've seen him over 800, but we haven't seen him once over 1500 bar that mile. And like, so it's the same. Obviously, you've got like Sidney McLaughlin, who's like a classic for it. But even like Germer or Bakkali, and you look at like the men, like you look at the Ethiopians in the 5 and the 10, they've hardly raced as well.
So look, yeah, I went El-Bakkali. I think Germer's the one people might.
I went Germer, man. I think El-Bakkali hasn't raced because he's had problems and. He might not be at his best. I went Germer.
Yeah, I think I was going to say Germer's the... I think he's the safe choice. Like, he hasn't raced lows, but he's still an 801 this season. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's and 12:58 early season as well. He fell a pre, so I've gone go on my mate. I can't see him touching it, but I do think it will be it won't be crazy fast. I feel like it will be quite tactical. I feel like these boys will string it out from a long way out.
Previous years, we've had these two just going at it every Diamond League, running rapid. So a bit of a change this year, but quite nice. And I think the steeplechase at the champs is always fascinating to watch. So that'd be good.
Yeah. Hey, marathon then, man. I mean, I spoke to Canova. Canova reckons Achilles going to win the Olympic marathon.
Mate, if Bekele wins the Olympic Marathon, that will be...
I'll make my year.
I'll make my Olympics. I'll remember that one forever.
I'll get a Bekele tattoo. Bosh.
Is that for real? We saying...
Do I want to announce that as...
Well, you just said it, so you may as well firm it up now. He says, I'm sat on Zoom with Matt, and he's wearing an Eliud Kipchoge Breaking 2 t-shirt. Which is a disgrace, seeing as we are hardcore Bekele fans on this podcast. But
it's just like 10 quid from a Nike outlet.
Okay. Yeah.
It's actually a really nice tee, actually.
But anyway, there you go. Nike. Matt's getting a Bekele tattoo because he will win.
I'm just so intrigued. I mean, me and you always say like the Olympic marathon is just one that we love to watch because one, I just think as well, it's a lot more exciting because it's just three per country and there's just a lot of, there's a lot of different people, there's a large pack, everything. And you, it is more of a case of like, yeah, you're looking to see when people make moves, when people drop off. And also I feel like, we see it sometimes in majors, people come strong, right? Or people completely pop, but you don't see it that often, especially these days with kind of super shoes and everyone's got their own little sub pace groups. Whereas like, there's just so much drama late on in this race. And now with this hill and the elevation, you're just like, what's going to happen? You're going to be just so on it and you're going to just be waiting for 30K in this hill and just anticipating it. So I'm just so excited. And yeah, you've got Bekele, you've got Kipchoge. I think Ethiopia had a late change as well.
Like, yeah, Lemma's not doing it, but we've Lemma's got Tola instead, which is very exciting. Like,
just as good. Yeah,
he's unreal. Particularly in kind of like a slow race, like he's got that New York course record. In terms of handling some hills and things, he'll be right up there, mate.
And
obviously, we've got to talk about him.
Gary Luff's boys, man. Like, yeah, you have got to talk about him.
Emil Kress, where does he come, mate? What was a successful run for Emil?
Well,
at top 10 with people.
Try to ask Canova this.
Blowing up.
And I did get a long answer, but I think a top 10, I actually think a top 10, like as bad as it sounds, would be a little bit underwhelming for Emil. I consider Emil a much better runner than Callum Hawkins, and Callum Hawkins was able to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Emil, like we definitely put him on way more of a pedestal, like his level. And I think also you look at Emil and you think his ceiling, whereas Callum Hawkins was exceptional, but I don't think many people looked at him and thought, oh, his ceiling's 204. Whereas we see that.
I think Hawkins' time in that era was probably just as good as Emil's.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually. Like, he's worth 2 minutes, isn't it? But to answer your question, I feel like I would definitely like to see Emil in the top 10. And I think that would be a class run, and that would set him up for a great, especially when you look to LA, Emil's 26 years old, is he? Something like that. You think LA prime, can he go get Olympic gold in LA? And then can he in between now and then break loads of records? I was going to say European record. That's bloody 203 or something silly now, isn't it? So, but I think top 10 definitely for me. And these Mohamed and Phil Sesman, those guys, I feel like, it's going to be I think for loads of men in the field, isn't it? It's either one or the other. You know, you either have a great day and you start flooding past people late on and you attack that hill and you come breezing down it and you find yourself going from 40th to 30th to 20th and, you know, just rifling through the field, or you are just someone who's just having a rough day out there. And look, you know, it is what it is. If you're having a rough day, you just get to the line and, you know, you almost forget about positions. It's just like, I gotta get this one in.
Yeah, it's been rough for Brits in the last few champs, hasn't it? It's just brutal, that marathon. But yeah, so this one not on the prediction contest. But yeah, we're both saying, well, are we predicting Bekele, or are we just saying we hope he wins? We predict Bekele.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I'll predict Bekele. That's fine.
Kipchoge get a medal, or is he out? Is he gone?
I'm just not sure about Kipchoge.
No, I
It's
said this
definitely not
last
sure
time
about
though.
anyone
I remember
else.
saying that in Tokyo, how wrong I was.
Yeah, in Tokyo, he was still like, he was only 2 years removed from bloody 159, so he was still a beast. But like, he actually has had a, you know, a couple performances now. Boston and Tokyo this year, he didn't perform that well. So he's had a couple marathons. Actually, his last two, which haven't gone that well. So I just don't, yeah, I don't see him as a super favorite, but.
But he could prove us wrong. Right, onto the women's
By the way,
marathon.
I think Conor Mance might sneak a medal. Yeah.
Hey, the guy's strong. The guy is strong. See, it's interesting though, because yeah, like what you're saying about the regard we hold Emil in. I hold Emil in a higher regard than Conor Mance.
I just think with the Americans, like, they train. Yeah, I would agree with that. But their last two builds and stuff have been, they've been training for races. You know, they have to train. They had to sacrifice almost a year to train for the US trials, and now, and then obviously they're sacrificing another 6 months to train for the Olympic Games. So they don't have many opportunities. Well, they haven't in the last 18 months. An American athlete hasn't had that many opportunities to go to Valencia and run fast. Had they done, I think Conor Mance could have gone to Valencia and run 2:5, 2:6.
Yeah, you make a good point.
I think so anyway.
Okay. Women's marathon then. Happy to move on.
Yeah, mate.
Okay. Let's get into this one then. Obviously, we mentioned Sifan Hassan earlier in terms of the track stuff. If she does some of the track, I think both Matt and I are saying that if she races all these track events that she's on the entries for, then she's going to seriously struggle. If she doesn't, she's got a huge chance in this marathon. But the quality of this one is ridiculous. We've got Peres Jepchirchir in. She knows how to win an Olympic marathon. I'm going Hellen Obiri. Obviously had her on the podcast. Unbelievable track athlete. She's moved to the marathon. Double wins over the past couple years in majors. But at the same time, how hard is this one to call?
I think as well, like, one of the reasons makes you want to go for a beer is just like the planning has probably been meticulous, but is that just only because we know, you know, we know Ritsenhain and obviously, but we've just seen her win time and time again recently as well. Yeah, that's kind of what gravitates me towards Hibiri. Like, I don't know, it just kind of reminds me. Do you remember like Rupp in 2016, and you just feel like Salazar, like doping aside or whatever you want to think, but like Rupp was just so well prepared. Obviously he had the flipping super shoes before, and I said super shoes him. Was it him and Kipchoge? I think were one of the only ones,
Back
and
in Rio.
maybe Shalane Flanagan. So I can't remember, but yeah. So you know he had that. You know he was wearing the bloody holes in his vest and caps and ice jackets and all this, and like the tech was just on point. And like when you're just looking for those 1%, and that's the only reason I sort of gravitate towards someone like Hellen Obiri. Whereas I feel like, well, it is fair game, but obviously I just feel like she would have trained a lot smarter And really specifically, whereas I feel like potentially people like Chipchirchir have kind of just trained for a normal marathon. Obviously they've been in their same training base and they'll just kind of hope they run well. Like, have they had access to saunas and hot baths and all this heat training and stuff?
But she's a defending champ as well. She managed to do it in like ridiculous conditions in Tokyo.
Yeah,
so
true.
That's got to count for something. But again, like, obviously Obiri has that pedigree when it comes to the track, in terms of like Olympic medals, world champs medals. We haven't even spoken about Assefa, obviously, that 2:11. I think after that run in London she had, where she kind of was not near where she was in Berlin. But if you got 2:11 athlete on the start line, are we crazy to kind of not talk? Well, I guess we've spoken about her now, but yeah. So
hey, look, but you ain't got a man pacing you, so doesn't matter how fast you run with a guy pacing, and you know, in Berlin, like, this is just a completely different ball game. So I mean, as yeah, so I mean, I've gone for Obiri, mate. I mean, I think she will take it. I think you probably agree with that. But yeah, Chipchirchir is hard to go against, to be honest with you. Yeah, but hey, what about the Brits and like their chance? And to be honest with you, you know, Purdue, we're gonna see
Thackeray,
like, huh?
Cali Thackeray, obviously, in there.
Yeah, yeah. And Rose Harvey, like, are we gonna see one of them sneak into the top 10? We spoke about Emil. Can we see one of them sneak into the top 10?
I think it's definitely possible. I think it's. Who knows, man? Like, if anyone's going to, for me, it's Cali Thackeray. Just haven't seen enough of the other two. Obviously, again, that's not a surprise. Like, you're preparing for a marathon. Like, how much do you need?
Yeah, you don't see much. You don't. So, I guess, like, I think it's going to be pretty difficult to break into the top 10 for these women, but they may do.
Yeah, they may well do. And what I do think across the men's and the women's marathon, I think we're going to see better overall results than we have in a long time. Like, across all of them, for example, like our third man, third woman are going to be higher than our third man or woman have been in previous years in the marathon. Because I think this is our strongest marathon team for a long time. On both sides.
Yeah, time wise, yeah. I think depth wise as well, actually.
That's
all
what
three
I mean. I think we're gonna see a step forward in that sense, but it's marathon's brutal, isn't it? Well, that pretty much wraps us up on our predictions. We have rambled on for a long time, so if any of you have made it this far, well done, and hopefully we've been talking some sense. Matt, is there any more housekeeping to get done before we sign?
Yes, man. I guess it's worth just mentioning, obviously, that 2 and BMC went down on Wednesday. That was a great meet, by the way. Any of you who were there would have really enjoyed yourself, I've got no doubt. I commented on some cracking races, man, and it is good to see, like, the guys just at 2 and doing such a terrific job and kind of raising the profile of kind of international middle distance running. We mentioned about it last week as well. In the UK, because outside of the Diamond League, yes, we have the BMC Grand Prix, but we need that kind of, I guess we need those races at that level where it's more like a 334, 335 race, whereas opposed to a 339, 340 race. And that showed, you know, the B race was won in 338 by guys you typically see in a Grand Prix A race, you know, like Tyler Billiard and stuff. So it was really good to have that international field, you know, Sean McGorty, Nick Griggs, Santana, those guys come here, and hopefully this meet just kind of grows and grows and grows and gets a little bit more international. And maybe next year, obviously Worlds are a lot later, it's going to be kind of perfect timing, because it will be, you know, probably four to 6 weeks from the World Championships if it is on that same, you know, Wednesday evening, kind of last Wednesday in July. You know, can that race get down to a 333, 332 level? Because honestly, I believe the track, the atmosphere, everything like that, and the fields they source, it can be it can be that good. And the same on the women's side as well. With the 800, you know, people like Katie Snowden, Kayla Edwards doing it, and the 1500 as well. Kate Axel was a runaway there. Didn't quite have the same depth, but still a very good, you know, a very good meet. And so, yeah, it's just worth to note, you know, some of the results coming out of there. 15 was 1:03:35, Axford 4:10. I mean, Katie Snowden ran 2:01. 3Ks were solid as well. They were a little bit more domestic, you know, sub 9 and sub 8. So, yeah, all round cracking meet. And hopefully that just continues to grow.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Looked pretty good. I just think, yeah, the more meets we can get like that, the more times, as you mentioned, the event itself can grow, so that people are looking for that weekend for a specific event.
Well, yeah, 100%. And I look at that meet and where it is and the track and the weather was just epic and the crowd a track side. And I look at that and I think, you could easily, I don't know when British Champs is going to be next year. And obviously we know the Worlds is the last weekend in August. So it's a lot later, you know, 4 weeks down the line sort of thing. But you're just like, you could easily really set some races up there. Like you could set, you know, low 330, 1500 on the men. So you could set some 5Ks. You know, you look at the 5Ks on the circuit and stuff. If you took all the Brits, got them in a 5K with a few Europeans in there as well, you know, you could set a ridiculously good 5K up there. You know, wave lights as well. They've got all that now. Like this, that track, that race, I think could be just as good as any we see abroad.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I think we're seeing more and more that we can do the sorts of things they do in Ordegem, for example.
Yeah, it's not easy.
We're not trying to be a diamond league, you know, but we, yeah, can definitely create races of that standard for sure.
100%, man. That, like I say, that wraps it. I guess the only thing left to say is we're going to be doing an episode pretty much every day, there or thereabouts. I think we're going to release an episode next Sunday. So obviously we'll have, or is it next Saturday? Is it Friday, Saturday? We'll smash out a review episode basically after each evening session. So it will be late that night. And we'll wrap up the morning and the evening session in one hit, the late evening. And that will be obviously out for the following day for you to listen to before we get to that next day. We're going to hopefully get some elite guests on as well. We've lined up a good few. I won't mention any names just in case they let us down, but I'm sure they won't. But yeah, fingers crossed, we're going to get some great experts kind of in the discussion and reviewing people who are close to the athletes as well, reviewing the events.
Yeah, can't wait for it, mate. Oh, I guess just to finish, we've both said we're looking forward to the 15 men's 15 probably the most, but apart from that, any event you're looking forward to kind of the most, I'll let you include sprints here, or maybe any athlete you're looking forward to seeing the most.
You've put me on the spot a bit there, mate.
I have.
Yeah, tricky. I mean, outside, obviously, I think four hurdles is just like, are we going to see McLaughlin run a world record? Like, I guess outside of the distance races, I think distance race, like for me, is it obviously, I think everyone's the same. It is that men's 1500. I'm intrigued to see what happens in the men's 800 as well, how that plans out. And I'm also intrigued to see if we will see some fast times in the 5 and the 10. But yeah, I guess women's 400. But then I also think like the men's 400, what can Matt Hudson-Smith do? In the sprints, I'm cheering for Tobogo. I just love the way he moves as well in like the 200 and see what he can do over the 100. So, mate, I'm like I said to you, I'm looking forward
everything,
to your...
Everything. Love it.
Yeah, I'll have the TV on for hours a day and... Yeah, like I said, I won't get much work done. I'll just be consuming it all, man.
It's work, isn't it? It's
low key, yeah, technically.
It's all research.
We can call it work. Yeah.
Perfect. Right. Well, again, thank you to those of you who've made it this far into the episode. Sorry. Thanks very much for listening. And we'll catch you soon once the Olympics has kicked off.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.